Blog Talk Radio.
We're gonna probably put that up on Patreon, the original broadcast. Let's see here. When it comes to abingoradio.com with Brother Alex Flemings, we're gonna bring him on as a media. He's going to be a media component under the Gathering of Christ Church when it comes to radio, mass, hold on. When it comes to mass media promotion, concerts and other things, when it comes to media representation, when it comes to the avatars that we're going to start presenting before some of our videos, we're bringing them on. So a lot of people who love Abednego Radio with the brother, who did a great job, Alex Flemings. We're going to have a meeting, and we're going to bump this up to the next level under the church. So if you have roles that's still operating under Abednego, don't worry about it. It's under construction, but we're going to do this on the next level. When it comes to the radio, productions, concerts, all those things that we can use as a vehicle to get to our people, it's going to be done all in-house. So just hold tight. Okay. All right. Let's go down the line. Sister Corey, you were there the first time. Originally, so I'm going to bring you in.
So, Be quiet now. Okay. I have my question.
Hey, Corey, why don't you got those babies walking around. Why don't you go into a quiet area if you don't mind?
Well, I'll go in a different room, because she's playing with the dog. Let me go in the room here.
I know. Let the babies play. Let the babies play. It's okay. It's all right.
Well, she's not really a baby. She's 10 years old, but she's just, Okay,
20 years old? Come on now.
No, 10 years old. Yeah, she's 10
okay,
years
well, that's,
old.
Okay, that's still a baby.
Okay, right.
Well, go on.
Yeah, okay. Well, my question was, I guess maybe you might have answered about it. I was just asking, about what about the academy when the internet is no longer available, because I'm pretty sure the devil's going to shut the internet down. So will you be available on radio or TV or something for the academy?
Sister, listen, I was teaching through the Spirit of the Most High before there was an internet, and I did it with the mindset that one day this platform that afforded us to get to so many people will one day become non-existent.
Okay.
I don't know what it's at one. Listen to me. At one time, it was Justin TV, right? It was Justin TV. It wasn't YouTube really. It was Ustream, because when we were streaming on Sabbaths and all that, that was before YouTube became a streaming platform where it was just upload.
That's where I found you on Ustream.
Yeah. So wherever the Most High wants us, that's where we'll be. But in the meantime, what we're doing, and I mentioned this in the academy, we're setting up an email of database where brothers and sisters, and we have this for many people who's in the academy already. If in a case of an emergency, you would like to be reached from someone in our region, if things go down, then we'll have you on a database in which we'll make hard copy. So even if we have to get to you by someone knocking on your door, calling, if the phones don't work, that's one thing. Well, guess what? We have somebody knock on your door. If we have to have a address where we can get to you, all of these will be on hard copy, not just computers, so that in the event of an emergency, and if you're on our database, we'll find you. So that will be the worst case scenario. Okay, so we've already thought of every other way, But what I do appreciate, and I appreciate the love, the sincere love that I have, in the work from people like yourself and so many people who care for us. No sooner that thing went blank, Elder Yarak, the first one called me on the phone, it was Elder Yarak.
Right.
Because your rock was the man from the beginning. Even before this church began what it was, he was head and still to some degree, you know, spiritually, he looks out for me as security.
Oh, okay.
You understand? So no sooner that thing went blank, that phone clicked and it was your rock. I'm like, my brother. And you know what? He didn't even ask me about the stream. He called me boss. He says, boss, you all right? But don't worry about it. The Most High always made an avenue in which we would find a way. If we need to be your Morpheus to come in and grab you out of the matrix real time, even when this stuff is done, we'll be there.
Okay. Now one other question. You were talking about you were going to the streets to alert people. You know, now when I first my former coworker first sent me the video, emailed me the video, the 12 lost tribes found, and I found out I was an Israelite. Well, I was telling everybody on Facebook, and then one person, she got offended, you know. She said I was talking too much, and I was bothering her, and she unfriended me because she was talking, and then she said she had known we were Israelites for a long time. But my other question is, now, in two instances, when I lived in the Bronx, there was two delis I went to. I would walk one block east and go, and there was an Ishmaelite. And he was, you know, I could get a bacon, egg, and cheese, you know, and I know my bacon would be beef bacon. Go one block to the north, and there was my brother, Simeon. And his bacon, egg, and cheese, you know, he's going to have the pork bacon on there. So I guess he didn't know he's in it. And I've got that same situation here in Harlem. One store I go to is the Ishmaelites. Go catty corner across the street, there's Simeon. And I said, well, I'm going to start going to Simeon because that's my brother there. You know, but I bet, you know, he's probably going to have, I haven't bought a bacon, egg, and cheese there from him yet, but I imagine it's probably going to be pork. So I'm just wondering, should I go in and let the brother know that, you know, he's a brother, an Israelite, and that he should be selling not beef bacon, but not pork bacon, but beef bacon.
No.
Don't tell him that.
See, listen. The Bible says be wise as serpents, harmless as a dove, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a certain spirit one must come in to have someone receive.
Right.
Information that's beneficial. No adult wants to feel they're being told what to do with their business and their money.
Right. Well, I was just wondering if...
No, listen. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how to do it without directly offending people. Right?
Okay.
The way you go into it is say, brother, one of your sandwiches is some of the best sandwiches I've eaten. It's just that I'm kosher. Use words they would understand. I'm kosher, and I get a beef bacon sandwich from the other people when I would rather patronize you.
Right. Okay.
See that?
Yeah.
You didn't even got to go into the law. Now, if he asked, because you said kosher, you can say, well, according to the Bible, the law, and even Christ can attest to this, we're not supposed to eat pork. A lot of our people are getting sick and, you know, high blood pressure, and there's worms in pork.
Right.
I don't want to offend you because I know that's your business, but that's why I choose not to do it. But I'm just telling you, I would rather buy the sandwich from you if you can get some beef bacon up in here.
Okay. Because I was wondering if I should go in and play our song, We're From the East, you know, for him, and let him hear it, you know, and let him hear he's Simeon from the Dominicans of Simeon, you know, and then, you know, and starting talking.
It kind of has that Caribbean South American feel to it, the beat. So,
right.
Yeah, try it.
And
I don't think that, maybe, hold up, I got to get the next call. So I got about 30 calls.
I was thinking about giving him a calendar, one of our calendars.
Well, do that, sister. That's a good gesture. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that. All right.
All right. Thank you, Cora. All right. Please.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Bless you. And Sunshine, yeah, I did receive your USB with your songs. I've yet to hear it. I'm going to plug it in tonight and hear some of the songs you've sent me. So, Sunshine, I did receive your package with the music. So, I'm eager to hear some of your music. So, I'm letting you know, Sunshine, if you're out there, I did receive that, okay? And thank you, and I will listen to it this evening. 667 area code.
Hey, Elman, this is Sister Danita from DMV.
Yes, Danita, how are you?
I'm good, sir. I just wanted to say that you quantify everything that's happened to us for the past 4 years into one whole sitting, and it cannot be denied. And
all praise be to the Most High.
I'm actually glad that the Most High woke me and my husband and the rest of us up just in time. I say just in time, so that we're not deceived to the devices that's happening at one time. So, kind of thing that me and Zach been doing is kind of like preparing as far as, I know you can't fight this stuff because it's spiritual, you can't fight these people. But at the same time, we need to be preparing to teach our children, how to handle themselves in situations that if it could get rough, go take it back to the old way if they had to protect themselves. And as far as our sisters had to reevaluate if they're in the nursing field, which my niece is. She just became a nurse, a registered nurse. I explained to her that, the target is on our back. It's not on any other nation's back. It's on our back to destroy our people. And she understands that. And she says she has a heavy, her
heavy
bosses and stuff put a heavy burden on her back and this is happening in Louisiana. That's where she lives at. To destroy the men. So, it's everything that you brought out tonight is definitely in line with our, with the existence that happened in Egypt in that time is in line with us today. And I yield with that.
Well, thank you, sister. And I'm glad that the Most High shined upon your family. You understand? It's one thing to believe you're doing the right thing until the Most High bring you out of it to view it from a different vantage point. And I think our people, and this is what's unfair, we're so into the hustle and bustle of trying to survive, we have no idea that people are, setting traps and daily counseling and seeking our demise. And we're just trying to survive. Like even your daughter, she went into the health field to help people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, it's a job when in a world, in a world where jobs are drying up, right?
Yeah.
So it's like we can't even take care of ourselves without harming our own people. So it's time that we come together and start operating within ourselves. It's time for us to really think about Bible-based schooling.
That's right.
And instead of indoctrination, education, where morality is actually a key component within the educational system amongst ourselves. This is what we must do so that we can produce resourceful, righteous people into society to push back against what's going on in the world today. And what I would like to do, I would like what? I would like a biblical setting, because don't forget, sister, you probably don't know this. The first schools started off as Bible schools. This is the only way the system could get a hold on our people. Who we didn't, don't forget, we didn't trust these people, right? So the only way we would release our children into someone else's care is if we thought they believed in the Christ we believed in. So they were able to lure our children by claiming that it was to teach them the Bible. That's how schools in America began, right? So I'm going to place you on hold. There's some noise behind you, but thank you for the call. What we have to go back to is a Bible-based school system, right? Instead of indoctrination. And on top of that, that school must have what? A naturalist approach when it comes to healing and living the herbs. No more of this stuff, you got to have this, that, and the other to actually learn and not realize there could be some ill effects to those choices. No. We didn't have all that stuff in the original schools. Keep your indoctrination, your politics, and all that other stuff, right? Your progressive agendas and indoctrination off of our children. We produce kingdom children, okay? That's our responsibility, okay? So this is the only pushback it has to happen from the womb. Coming out of the womb, they must be raised kingdom people to push it up against Satan's system. And this is what we need to do. Because, folks, when it comes to schooling, the only thing that the parents have to do is just make sure that every quarter the child signs up for SATs, right, in that particular area. And you're going to find that your child has progressed well beyond the regular public schooling when you begin to teach them yourselves and have them do the SATs themselves, okay? And here it is. We don't have to worry about the communal part of things, the community societal part, so that they don't become socially awkward. We can make sure the homeschooling parents set up what? Social recreation separate, where the children come together for play. They come together for certain recreation, skills and building. They come together for trades. They come together for the arts or whatever the case might be. It don't have to be under a construct that Satan has set up to destroy our children. That's the only way. We're going to have to work on something for our people. Okay? They set up what? They set up engineering and science in our communities, and we thought they were setting up schools for us. And engineering and science is so that they can have these Asians and East Indians come into our neighborhood and become what? They will become the technical professionals in the technical world, and they did this right up under our noses using our schools. And now look. 704 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
All right, pretty good. Elder, all praise to the Most High. Hi, Elder. Just on the point of what you just saying, I just want to go get my son from Baltimore and brought him down to Carolina, and I've been trying to get him in school. So it's been 2 weeks, Elder, and the lady, she's talking about she has applications and she got to look at, and you know, she's going to take her time with my son. So I went on ahead and just signed him up in homeschool, Elder. Yes, sir. Just like the sister just said, Elder, you touched so many points. And Elder, I love doing security, but I'm so glad that I do Uber, Elder. I ran into a brother today. He said he an atheist, but he was an Iskar, right? So I said, no matter what, brother, if you accept that you are an Israelite or not, it's in your blood. It's you. And Elder, I think I gained a soul. Now, the key point I wanted to talk to you about, Elder, is about a nurse I came past. So we're in the I'm driving her to see her male friend. So she was, a little intoxicated. So she's like, oh, my God. She said, how do you like doing your job? Because she was like, she's looking into it. But then she said, it's cool. And I asked her, what do you do? She said, she's a nurse, Elder. And she said, she was basically saying how much she hate doing it. And it was a Caucasian sister. She was saying, like, oh, man, I just hate my job. And it was basically, I could tell from how she was, like, explaining, I think she was tired of, what they was doing. She was like, man, you wouldn't believe what they have me doing and what goes on. You know what I mean? And I was like, wow. So when you said that, Elder, it is a lot of sisters that do nursing that they do feel some type of way about their job. And they regret and they have a real regret of what is transpiring. So everything you hit, Elder, and it was on point tonight. And you know what I mean? That sister definitely saying she really wanted to stop doing nursing.
Yeah. And, that was the reproductive health care they were doing in Egypt, telling the nurses to get rid of the sons. So I just wanted to emphasize that because, really, you know, I understand there's a limited places where we can actually earn an employment. You know, money that can actually, impact our families. And nursing is just one of those. And the last thing I want to do is take the right to earn or think about taking the right to earn from anyone. All right. So I'm just letting sisters know that the reason why a lot of these nursing jobs are available for the benefit of our system against us to some degree, against their own people, against their own children. So it's time for us to rethink this, and it's going to take us sitting down, coming up with alternative measures and options, because sometimes these are the only options our people have. So this is the think tanks that I'm thinking about, you understand, with the brothers, with others who are looking at it. The system is throwing us out as if we built nothing in this country. And the only way for them to actually make amends really is reparations through cash payments. But you think they're going to do that? I don't know. I don't think so. Their answer, every time we stand up and say it's time for you to make amends, they double down on destroying us. And this is what's going on with the Asians and all this, and they are fermenting a war within the inner cities that will justify the National Guard and the armies coming in. That's what they're cultivating and fermenting in our community. With them letting all these people over, eventually our people are going to say enough is enough. Our sisters are being thrown out. Your children are getting preferential treatment. Our people are getting thrown in jail. These criminals are harming our people, and yet there's no jail time for them. And we're going to have to, by force, we're going to have to stand up and defend ourselves. It's what the Democrats have been cultivating in our society. A war in the inner city that would lead to what? A solution with them bringing in the army. So I don't want my brothers and sisters a part of that war, because that's a war we cannot win. The Bible tells you that the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. The only way Esau can actually beat us is if he draws into a carnal war. I don't want us in that war, but it's inevitable. So what I have to do through the Spirit of the Most High with other brothers with serious minds, brothers and sisters who understand how things work, a system to navigate through this, to survive what's coming without being a part of it, without getting drawn into it, right? So that's the think tank. That's how we must operate or understand in conversation going forward, knowing that there's no way around it. Our people don't have another place to go like these migrants when things break down. We can't go to Africa, okay? Let me make it clear. We have an entirely different culture understanding. We become a different demographic. It's not that easy assimilating yourself into something. It's easier, it's simpler for an African that's living in America to have a place to go back to. Right? We don't, we were forced here with no place to go. And the only place we have is with the Almighty. So I'm not waiting for a solution on the outside of us. We're trapped with no other option but God and ourselves. And we must come together to navigate through this because he said these times would be upon us. Okay? So that's what time it is, brother. And you know what? What I'm saying, what I'm telling you is going to happen. We're going to navigate through this and we'll win and meet our Savior on the way into the wilderness. It will happen. But if we are drawn into any altercation, this satanic mess of a pot of confusion that they have actually created to sink us through, we're done. All right? Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Duarte.
All right.
Yes, sir.
You're in the bar. Zaria has a comment. Zaria.
Hello, Elder. How are you?
I'm doing well, sister.
That's great. Well, I first
and yourself, how are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you. I'm a little nervous. But I just want to first thank you so much for the work and the labor that you've all these years. I've kind of recently been watching your old street preaching videos and the passion from the Holy Spirit that it really encourages the entire body, and it's so amazing to see. And one of
the most
yes, sir. And the comment that kind of sparked me to want to come in is what you mentioned in the very beginning pertaining to The Lion King. Because growing up and still now, that was my favorite movie. And when you were speaking about the sisters and how, you know, we've been psychologically manipulated into kind of allowing the system to take the place of the man, even in the Lion King movie, there was a scene where Scar, after the death of the king, kind of gave a speech to the lionesses and manipulated them to be a part of his new system. And at the end, he was kind of manipulating how the death happened. And then they had to join with his kingdom. And at the end of the desolation, they didn't have any food. And the women had to be the ones that were hunting the work to sustain his kingdom. But eventually, Nala ended up leaving to find her king, which was Simba. And them coming back to stand together makes me think of the representation of us coming back together. And I just wanted to close by saying that it also has changed my own mindset about what's really important in this system as far as what we deem as successful. You know, not to so much seek the things of this world, but to seek the things of the kingdom. And that puts me in the mindset of my own father. Because about a month ago, he was able, my father came to one of the churches in Georgia, and me just being connected to him really kind of brought that protection back that I know that I need in this world, and that connection of being almost connected to the Most High through my own father. And that was just a beautiful thing that I wanted to share.
Good to hear. Great to hear. What city and state you're from, sister? Zaria?
Yes, I'm from Florida, GOCC Florida, Orlando.
Okay.
Under
okay, so I guess we'll see you at the Passover, huh?
Unfortunately, this Passover, I don't think we're going to be able to make it to eligibility, but the next Passover, we should be able
to
go.
What do you mean due to eligibility? What are you talking about?
Well, I don't think we have enough Sabbaths to be able to attend this Passover this year.
Well, listen, you tell Elder Purnell that you spoke to me on the broadcast, and we need to find out what status you need to be able to get to the Passover. Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll see you at the Passover. All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. Bless you. Keisha has a comment.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. How are you? Keisha, where are you from?
I'm from Michigan.
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm thankful.
Great.
I was actually calling because my son he's been waiting to call in and just to speak to you. So we've been waiting just to talk to you. That's all.
Okay. Where's your son?
He's right here.
Hello.
Okay. Put him on so we can talk.
Hello, Elder.
Let's speak up.
What's happening, Cappy? Hello. What's your name?
Jeremiah. Hello, Elder.
Okay. Sit down, man.
Jeremiah. That's a spiritual name. How old are you? Okay. So I'm here, Jeremiah. You want to speak to me? Let's talk, young man. Let's talk.
How you doing?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahia. How you doing?
Good.
No.
Okay, you just want to know how I'm doing, huh?
I'm following you.
We've been listening and following you.
Okay.
Following your teacher.
Okay, I hear you repeating what your mama's saying. You repeating what your mama's saying. Listen to what I'm going to ask you a question.
Well, Elder... Thank you. But I'm trying to teach him conversational skills, too.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. Hey, listen. Do what you do, Mama. You can get behind him. I got a question for him.
Oh, here you go, right here. And just one more thing before you ask him a question. My grandson, Judah, said hello, too.
Elder.
And how old are you, young man?
5. I just turned 4.
Five. Man, you're gonna be a mighty man of Israel, I heard. What about that?
All right, here's Jeremiah.
Lord have mercy. What are you doing to me? All right, Jeremiah.
Yes.
So you listen to your parents?
Yes.
You follow the Most High's law?
Yep.
You pray before you go to sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is it private? What do you say? The Lord's Prayer?
Yes.
And Psalms.
Hit me with it. Hit me with it.
What?
And Psalms. Oh, do your mother repeat it for you and you say it, or do you know it by heart, the Lord's Prayer?
Kind of both.
Kind of both?
Mm-hmm.
Hold up. Let me put you to the test, young man. Jeremiah, say the Lord's Prayer real quick. Go ahead, hit me with it.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us for the...
our trespasses.
Give us our trespasses.
Take a time. You got time. Forgive us our trespasses.
Forgive us our trespasses.
We forgive those.
As we forgive them who trespass against us, lead us not unto
temptation.
The righteousness.
Temptation. But deliver us.
Deliver us from the evil. For
thine
is the kingdom. For thine is the kingdom. The
power.
The glory is the power Amen.
Oh, so, hey. All right, Jeremiah. So you know what I have for you, Jeremiah? Someone sent me some books, some Hebrew biblical story books, right? So what I'm going to do is it's like a comic book. I'm going to take down your name, and I'm going to make sure I send you one of these. It's a coloring book, and I'm going to send you one for you and one for the other young man. How does that sound?
Judah.
Thawada.
Wow, Thawada.
Thawada. What does Thawada mean?
Thank you.
Oh, shucks.
I know how to say the whole prayer. I said for my mama, too.
Hey, folks, this is why I'm going to push you on hold. I'm going to talk with you soon. I got your number. What's your name?
Hold on. It's Keisha. You want his Keisha. Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, Keisha, I'm going to give you a call tomorrow. We're going to get an address, and we're going to send out some books for your children. All right?
Okay, Thawada. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And now you see why the Pharaoh wanted to get to Moses and why they didn't want Christ around. And this is why they're trying to target the womb. Y'all sisters are so important because it's through you all prophets are born. Thank you.
Thawada.
All right. Hey, in the bar. Only got a few more, and then I have to lay down, actually. I'm only staying on a little late because I started late because there was some construction going on in here, and I couldn't disturb that. It's imperative that we get this thing finished up here. 757 area code. Hey, y'all. The Children of Israel is back. When I hear young men like that, when I hear children that are growing up into this truth, I understand that even all the negatives and the attacks that comes with me doing this, it doesn't matter. It's worth it. Even the naysayers, whatever you say, it doesn't matter. As long as I can hear and see what I've just witnessed, that's a miracle in of itself. Okay, and I'm going to tell you, this is how, through the Spirit of the Most High, we change the world. Doing something about it. Instilling the Word of God, standing in boldness with this Word to bring back the greatest people who have ever lived. Deborah, and to be a light to the Gentiles who would like to get on board with this, right? 262 area code. 262.
Harry. Hello.
Yes, that's you. How are you? Your name?
Hi, Elder Ricarciar. This is Quenisha Gray. I want to touch a few bases with you. Okay, I stay in Wisconsin, right? And we have a thing called Section 8, low income, and affordable housing. Yeah. Now, for the Section 8, they doing automatic evictions, right? So for low income is 30% of your income. So they writing out letters to people saying that they owe all this money, else they got or they gonna have to leave the property and within 30 days. So I've been seeing a whole lot of U-Haul trucks out here, and they getting rid of a lot of people. Like, it's really crazy out here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, and so let me make this clear. You said you're witnessing an all-out suspension of Section 8.
Yes, I am. And it's kind of crazy because I don't know how it is in other cities or states, but I know that we have Section 8. Okay, that's one part. And then we got another thing called low income. and low income is based off of 30% of your income. Now, that's a whole nother situation from Section 8. So that's like another a form of government, you know, subsidy for, you know, single parents, you know, single moms or whatever. And that's currently what I'm on or whatever. But unfortunately, they haven't done that to me. But
and what I'm asking you, hold up, let me ask you a question. The 30%, what does that entail? That whatever your rent is, you're responsible for 30% of it?
Yeah, 30% of what you bring in.
So 30% of what you make, you're responsible for paying for housing, is what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
And they will supplement the rest?
The rest.
Yes.
Okay. So, I hear myself in the background. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, if that's the case, right now, they haven't circled around to you right now, but you're seeing many of our sisters who are on Section 8 getting evicted.
Yes. Yes,
and
that was one of the bases I wanted to touch with you. That's going on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or whatever. You know, it like I'm seeing U-Haul trucks everywhere because we stay in a large complex or whatever, and it's like U-Haul after U-Haul. You know, it's just ridiculous. You know,
why aren't people coming together? Why aren't, you know, people in general coming together to bring a political spotlight on this in lieu of what they're doing with housing migrants and giving them jobs, money, food, what have you? Why no one is actually putting a spotlight on this in comparison to why these people are privileged to get all of this who aren't citizens, opposed to your people who've been living here, our people, who built the country.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever thought to do anything, or our sisters are just dealing with this in silence.
Yes,
right?
They're dealing with it in silence. But you know what, Elder? I came up with that same conclusion, you know, but, you know, people don't want to listen to me, you know, because I feel like they can get a big lawsuit going on against these private-owned properties that's low-income based or whatever. But when I bring up the situation, they want to avoid it. They want to beat all around the bush or whatever like that. So I'm like, you know what? You just go on. If they evict you, then they just evict you because I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to, you know, give drop some knowledge to you and you don't want to hear it or whatever. You know, they so mad because they getting evicted or whatever till it's like they not thinking straight.
You know what, this is deep because I'm looking at a situation where at one time they incentivized women to not have men in the house. That's what was going on when I was growing up. And they were willing to pay the whole thing. Public housing, I remember when public housing where my mother was probably paying like $100 a month or something, and they paid for the rest and still public assistance and everything else. We grew up on Diamond Street, right? Public housing authority. But it was incentivized that they would take care of everything if the father wasn't on the paperwork. It would have to be as if he didn't exist, right? So they incentivized the women to get housing and all that without the man long enough for the men to get fed up and say, you know what, we're tired of being treated like we don't exist, right? And now men are out of the game altogether. Now they're doing an end around now and saying, well, okay, now it's time to deal with you.
That's
okay. Now that there's no man to help sustain you, and we help you drive him off altogether, now we're taking your housing away because we were only using it as we was weaponizing the housing so that you didn't have to submit. Because you had something he didn't have. And if you were going to live under a man's power who's providing, it comes with compliance. It comes with submission. But if you got your own place, no matter who's paying for it, whether it be you or the government, automatically you have a leg up on the man who feels what? he feels more so spiritually castrated because he must depend on his man, his woman, to live. So all of that did a serious job on the psychological, I mean, the minds of men, to a degree where men said, you know what, this is just too much. There's too many hurdles to cross here. And you can't tell nobody what to do if the house is in her name and she can do what she want to do. And even if she's wrong, I have to go. Right?
Yeah.
So, they were very patient with this. And now they're doing an end around. Sister, you know what I think is going to have to happen?
What?
I think sisters are going to have to humble themselves. I think that they shouldn't go online and say that they don't need a man no more. I need you, but I don't want you. Women are going to have to be honest. All that boss babe stuff got to go out the window. Sisters going to have to come online and brag and all that. They got to come online and say, listen, we were lied to. Forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive us.
Oh, I have humbled myself.
We forgive you because you haven't been perfect either as men, but we've been showing out here because we had housing. We had this, that, and the other, and we were wrong. They played us. They played all of us.
Yep.
Right? And I think that, let me tell you, people in general, men are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some would say, and I'm not going to say it's absolute, but sometimes men can be a little bit more forgiving than a lot of women.
Yeah.
Well, when women get a grudge, boy, the earth is scorched. But all in all, the only thing that brothers are waiting to hear out there that I'm hearing when it comes to, and I talk to my sons and all that, is to be honest. To be honest and humble themselves.
Yeah.
Now, you think that's possible where women will admit that they were wrong and humble themselves? Will their pride get in the way and they just deal with what they're dealing with?
I'm going to tell you this, Elder. If they don't humble themselves willingly, God will make them humble themselves. Because I didn't humble myself when I was supposed to. And the Most High dealt with me, and now I'm humble. You know, I don't want to put my business all out on air or whatever, but before I got into this truth, I thank the Lord that he brought me to this truth because I've been out of the church for about 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Because when I would go into, I remember taking my youngest son, walking to church, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I not getting, you know, the edification or the answers that I need? So I just stopped going. And for you know it, when 2021 hit, Elder, the Most High he dealt with me. I was pregnant 2021. I was diagnosed with preeclampsia. Okay. The Most High saved me from that because I have to go an emergency C-section. And do you know when I woke up, the doctors told me, we weren't expecting you to make it. They said I had at least about a couple of strokes. And you know, during this whole experience of me, you know, trying to learn how to walk again, to learn how to talk again and feed myself again or whatever. Thank God I have children. I've been introducing them into the truth. You know, they helps me, you know. And also I want to talk to you, Elder Ricarcia, because I have a PCW that comes to my house to help me and stuff like that until I get up on my feet and stuff. I was watching you. I watch you all the time. I listen to you. I'm a Patreon-y. I ordered the calendar. I'm in the academy or whatever. You know, I'm taking it serious because I feel like this, if I can take it seriously for the Christian church, why come I can't take it seriously for the real truth?
Jack, thank you.
You know, yeah, you have all these specials on Christmas, for the Christians, come on, give $1,000 this and this and this. I was one of them where I would give $1,000 here thinking that was it, but God showed me what it was. You know, mm-hmm. And I thank you. I praise the Most High, you know, from dealing with you all these years. You know,
well,
by
you,
shedding
sister.
Light
thank
on
you,
me, because I feel like if I can come to the truth, if I can put my money in that, why not put my money in the truth? You know what I'm saying?
Well, sister,
and it's
sister,
like,
we're here.
And,
we're here to help
yes,
you, too. I got to make one call. I'm past the hour.
Well,
I don't want to cut you off.
One more thing. One more thing. One more thing.
Hurry up.
I was on
hurry up.
TikTok.
Let me get,
you,
let me get your name.
I thought that this was very interesting to me. Okay, I was on TikTok one day. And I come across two nurses, one black, I'm going to say it very fast, one black, one white. Okay, the black lady was saying that she just came to a funeral. And the white lady said, what is a funeral? The black lady asked the white lady, you never been to a funeral before? She said, no. All our decades, we do cremation.
Man, she must be a part of a witch coven.
Yeah.
You don't know. But I'm telling you, the children of Israel, hey, if it's a get together, it doesn't matter what the occasion, we gonna get together. So
that's right.
Even through cremation, right? I mean,
yes.
I've had, even though cremation is a sacrifice to the dead, I went to
yes.
one funeral and I the church had the reception and had the ceremony and all that, had the viewing and all that, and I say, well, okay, man, let's get to the burial ground. The pastor's looking at me saying, listen, there's going to be a wake, but there will be no burial. I'm like, come
what?
On, man. As long as the people get together, it's like there's something about us finding an occasion to get together, even in the worst of times, we're going to have something. But those witches, boy, hey. You don't even want to be. You don't want to be around when people are dying around the witches and warlock covens. You know what I mean? They got a fire going with no oven.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole
mm-hmm.
other conversation.
Yeah.
It looks like
yeah.
something out of the Game of Thrones up in there, in those witch covens.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sister. Yeah, there's some weird
Elder,
stuff going on in the
if
United
States. You could take my information because I want to do baptism.
Okay, let me have your name. I was about to get there, but let me have your name.
Quenisha, spelled Quenesha, last name Gray, Gray.
Quenisha Gray, I got you. So I got your number here, baptism. We're going to have someone call you. And we're going to take you to the water. Welcome
Thank
to the body.
You. Yes.
You're welcome. Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Elder Lawyer, you can go to sleep, young man. I'm going to take the last phone call and end the broadcast. I thank you for all you do, you brothers and sisters, and your support. I have one last call, 206. Elder
yes,
Lawyer,
sir.
You can rest if you like. Have a good night. I'll call you tomorrow, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right,
yes, sir.
Bless you.
All right, Shalom.
Shalom, last call for this evening, 206 area code. One thing about Elder Lawyer, he loves his sleep, boy. I tell you, it's like, tell you that, he'd be ready to just nod around past 8 o'clock, you can forget it. 206 area code, talk to me.
Elder, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Shalom.
Shalom,
so,
your name?
Yes, my name is Free Lima.
Freely.
The Washington Body. Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all be having some serious names. Free Lima. That was a new one. And too many people with that one.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I wanted to call in because I heard what the sister was saying just before me about Milwaukee and what she's doing with Section 8. And up here, I was just telling my husband as we're sitting here watching this, I work in a nonprofit organization up here, and I seen a client come through last year, and she is a grandmother whose all of her children are unfortunately on drugs, and so she's taking care of all of her grandkids. And she came in for some help with us. She was on Section 8, and she wanted help with some back rent from the COVID. Well, I just saw her again today. She's back again this year. And I was reading her file, and she is she's actually coming back to us because she's now – sleeping with family and friends because Section 8 or her apartments evicted her because Section 8 was not paying the rent.
Well, sister, I'm going to tell you, a lot of building owners and a lot of companies that are behind these shell companies that own these buildings, they're doing everything to try to get our people out because the migrant money, it's just hands over fist better than Section 8.
Mm.
That's why they ended Section 8, because this federal money is, you're talking about to some degree for next two years, the federal subsidies that come with these new programs for so-called illegals, you can get a regular apartment that you're charging $1,500 for where through Section 8, they can charge $8,000 and $9,000 a month. From the federal NATO money that's coming in.
What?
So that's what's, because it's not just the United States money. It's international money that's coming in under for nonprofits, for housing, under the migrant asylum seeking thing. So this is why a lot of people own apartments. They're saying that they don't want Section 8, but they're seeing there's letters that are coming to people saying that we have all these people, and if you allow housing, this is the money you'll get almost immediately. So they are now coming around putting our sisters out so that they can fill it with Eastern Europeans and other so-called migrants. Yeah.
My goodness. Okay. Now I see the whole picture. Okay.
Yeah. And you can't really sue Section 8 and all that because it's unfortunate that it happened between the Democrats and the Republicans. They started changing legislation and the requirements for the money. And a lot of the money that was in some of these systems aren't allocated within the United States no more. It's being allocated through international law. So the money that's coming through, there's no more money. What they're not telling Americans is that there's really no more money in Social Security and all these other, what they call entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
They have totally robbed the coffers of all of the, all of the financial substances that was connected to all these programs are gone. So it's the federal money that's going to keep these apartments actually in place. It's the federal money and it's the international money. Yeah.
Yes. And everyone that they're evicting, all these women are coming up with thousands in debt because of what wasn't being paid.
Yeah. And they're leaving with the debt. And they couldn't even afford to live where they were. And they're leaving with the debt so to make it hard for them to get another place on top of that.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, this is a reckoning of the worst way happening right now.
Yeah.
Because none of us thought that this housing and these housing scenarios that for our people would ever run out. They knew they was going to do this. The world powers, they knew that this was the plan.
Mm. Okay. They think they got it.
They knew they were going to do this. So now the question is, What are our sisters going to do next? We're talking about in the hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
We are.
What are they going to do next?
I'm so glad that he's doing this.
Yeah. I don't know. They're struggling right now. They're really suffering. Really.
And then think about this. Think about this, and this is the sad part about it. The people that are coming in who are not citizens are going to have their housing. They're going to have extra money. I'm going to tell you where this is going.
It's
sad because this is where this is going.
Okay.
Let me tell you what they call it in America, survival work. That the migrants were on the street doing survival work because there was no housing and working for them. That's the term they use in New York when the so-called migrants came. Why?
Hmm.
Why are they using this? Because selling someone's body is a normal occupation in the countries that a lot of these people come from. So it's going to be nothing for those who have the upper ground now, who came from these places, who have housing, finances,
mm-hmm.
and all that, to now offer to pay our women to survive. It's going to get crazy.
Oh, we can't have that.
Listen, they've already set up beforehand, and no one's seen it coming, the apps and all these things to actually condition society into this type of interaction. Yeah. But we didn't recognize what they were setting in place through the technology, knowing we didn't know that at the end of it, there will be this just oversaturation of women without homes. And
yeah.
What do the women do in other countries without homes?
Right.
Survival work. And this is why, listen, when you thread the needle and you put it all together, this is why Kamala, the first year when Biden was in office, she was speaking of a legislation in California that would allow legal prostitution. Why would she even present mm-hmm. something like that in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
If the government didn't foresee this being a viable occupation so that those that have no housing could survive. That's
trying to drown us in sin.
This is where it's going.
Yeah. We really need to pray.
Have to get in front of it. We have to pray for our people and do as much as we can. But it's just we're talking about the hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, we are.
It's just throwing our people away.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay. All right, with the water for your time. Yes, I just can't.
Sister, we're gonna do what we can to help our people as much as we can.
Yes.
When we started realizing we were Israel and started putting that out there, now the enemy is saying, well, okay, if you're Israel, we're going to throw you out with your God and see if he helps you.
Right.
And that's
right.
And this is their answer to the awakening. And you know what? It's time for us to just dig in and get ready for this war.
That's right.
All right, and help as many people who want to be helped.
That's
all right.
Yes.
Well,
take him over all their things any day.
Yeah. Well, sister, at the end of it, the good thing about it is a kingdom where there's no more pain, no more suffering, and this kingdom will be on earth. And our people will see the promise.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have to die to get there.
Right.
Okay. It's coming here.
So
this is the persecution we must get through as a people.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, the children of Israel win. We just have to get through.
Right. Okay. So I know where I'll be. My prayers will be set forth tonight.
Yes. Well,
a lot has happened.
Sister.
Yes.
I really appreciate it, sister.
We love you.
And my
brother.
Prayers to you.
Thank you,
my brother. I love you too, my brother. And stay strong. Put those prayers up. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our people. Okay. Hey, right now we're in a war, and the enemy is at the door, literally. They're trying to erase Judah, but Judah will stand. And guess what? The lion will roar. Shalom.
Yes.
Have a good night, brothers and sisters.
The water.
And Yendabar.